The second visit to the telephone kiosk was a mistake. Gallagher had left the message with Lottie, and as she emerged from the box, she had seen a woman staring at her. The woman had seemed to be walking along the lane, but on seeing Gallagher, had turned on her heel and hurried away. Gallagher ran off in the opposite direction, passing several cottages as she went along the lane. Had she knocked a door, she would probably have been welcomed inside, fed, and given a bed. Such was the hospitality in rural Ireland. But she could not be certain the inhabitants of this isolated place were not in league with her pursuers. The driver, who had changed his mind about giving her a lift, had demonstrated that local people were afraid to cross Liam, and if anyone did take her in, they would risk being taken to task for doing so. Her only hope was to remain hidden until Morgan John could take her off. That meant getting to a point on the shore where she would see him in good time and could attract his attention, and that had to be somewhere where there was enough depth of water for the yacht to be brought in at least to swimming distance. Gallagher had seen such a place, where there were rocky promontories reaching out into deep water. If she could climb out onto one of them, then there was a chance he would be able to see her and make an approach. The problem would be that, once out on the promontory, she would be visible from the shore as well, and if John failed to see her, or could not approach, then she would be a sitting duck. She decided that it would be better to hide inland until the boat was due, allowing for a very fast crossing. The Garda had worried her. She wondered if the ones she had seen searching were in the pocket of the terrorists, or if the men in uniform she had seen were simply impostors using the uniform as a cover. She was too disheveled to count on being ignored by a passerby, and she was perspiring heavily. Coming across a stream where it passed through a culvert under the lane, she climbed down to wash. It was this consideration of personal hygiene that drew her mind to the unthinkable, that they would use dogs. How badly did they want her? She had hurt or maimed Liam, possibly even killed him. If he were alive, he would want her very badly. They still had the black bag Sinead had used to blindfold her. It would have her scent. They would use dogs. Putting the Billingham bag on her back like a schoolboy's satchel, she dropped down into the water, then crawled through the culvert and headed upstream. She knew that it was virtually impossible to evade dogs by this method alone, because they would patrol the banks until they found where she had climbed out, unless there were no such place. After a quarter of a mile, with the stream now winding through woodland, she found what she was looking for. An old tree was growing on the bank and extending out over the water. One of its branches was dangling. She grasped it and hauled herself clear of the water. Sitting astride the main bough from which the branch was extending, she took a multi-tool penknife from the bag and started to saw at it. Finally, the branch started to sag, and she caught it as it fell away, pulling it up into the tree and wedging it out of sight. The small amount of mud not washed off her fell boots by the stream, she rubbed into the freshly cut wood. Then she climbed further into the tree, lay out along a long thick bough, and rested. Sleep came, despite the fear of the pursuers and the worry of falling out of the tree. Once she woke with a start, believing that she was already falling. Her jacket had ridden up, and her shirt tail had pulled out so that her lower back felt numb. She tried to tuck it in and pulled the jacket down. Then she dozed off again. The dream came back, the headless man. This time he was an impostor in a Garda uniform.